Parashama. We noted two things last time that I'd like to develop and try to explain and carry forward. Number one, we noted, if you look at page two, we noted that Baruch Sha'amar, at least on one level, is essentially a commentary, a perush, on the basic formula of brachot. Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam. It appears in the center of it, and the rest of it gives us a commentary on it. And I'm going to, Be'ezras Hashem, explain what I mean by that as we go on, but I think that everyone who was here last time at least saw, as you look at it, and you know, with a little bit of help, the way that it was laid out, you can see how really it goes through each phrase, pretty much every word of Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, and elaborates on and interprets. Okay. Do you have the Baruch Sha'amar packet?
No.
Okay, so I'm going to give you. There are two things that you need. Okay. Okay. So that's point number one. Baruch Sha'amar is essentially a commentary on the formula of the bracha Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam. Number two. We noted something that is not at all a chiddush, but when you pause to think about it, I think it's an incredible idea. It's something that, you know, is, on a certain level, feels intuitively like a huge chiddush, and that is that when we daven, and I'm talking about the essence of davening, meaning Shmona Esrei, the 19 brachot of Shmona Esrei, ironically, as we know, Shmona Esrei consists entirely of brachot. To see the basic building block, the basic component that tefillah, in the narrow sense, in the most, when we talk about it in the narrow sense about tefillah consists of brachot. And that's very interesting. It's something that if we hadn't, grown up with this, or if we hadn't, learned about this and done it for years, it would be a very big surprise to us, I think. If we try to imagine, put ourselves into a situation of coming fresh to this topic, I think that it would be a very big, it's not so intuitive. Alex, I'm just going to give you the stuff. Do you have the booklet?
Yeah.
But there's a supplemental page. Okay. Bakasha. Okay, thanks. Okay. So what I'd like to do is to try and do two things. Number one, to understand the commentary of Baruch Sha'amar on the formula of bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, what Baruch Sha'amar has to say about it, what it tells us, and then hopefully to put us in a position to understand a little bit about why brachot are the building blocks, are the basic component of tefillah. Why is it that that's how we formulate our tefillah? And what I'm going to share with you, I think, is very simple, but I think that there's a lot of depth to it, and it's very, very important. So let's take a look. First of all, the key word in Baruch Sha'amar, as you can see on the top of page two, is clearly the word Baruch, right? And see how many times the word Baruch comes up again and again and again and again and again. The first word that's interpreted, I would argue, in Baruch Sha'amar is the word Baruch. In other words, what does it mean when we say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam? What does the word Baruch mean? So Baruch Sha'amar explains that at great length. What do we mean by Baruch? Baruch means Sha'amar Vayaolam. Okay. Baruch is a description of God. Baruch Hu. Baruch. What do we mean by that? That Oseh Bereishit. And Omer va'oseh, and Gozer Makayem, and Merachem al Arz, Merachem al Briot, and Mishalem Sachar Tov Yav, and so on and so forth. If you take a look at the extra sheet that I gave you, which is really page four of the booklet, it's separate, two very basic sources about what the word Baruch means. And we're not going to, each source is much longer than what you have in front of you. I just gave you the most relevant part. And particularly, we're going to do the more down-to-earth part, not the Kabbalistic part, particularly in the second source that I'm referring to. The first source is Sefer Karim, Rabbi Yosef Albo, one of the great Jewish philosophers at the end of the period of Rishonim. And Rabbi Yosef Albo in Sefer Karim, a very important Sefer, he says as follows. V'zeh ki bracha shem ne'emar al ribuy v'tosefet tov v'shafa. The ideas here are not—it's not a particular shita. I'm just showing you there's a very basic idea that you'll find in many mefarshim, and really, I could have given you many other sources, but these are just two of the very basic ones. That first of all, that bracha has to do with ribuy v'tosefet tov v'shafa. K'shomar al hamikabel yeh baruch. Pa'ul, okay? We can talk about Baruch can have more than one meaning. Baruch can mean receiving bracha. It can mean that someone is blessed. That's the more common way, perhaps, that we use it. That's one form. Ki'achar shematzanu ve'varech Baruch etchem shu makor min akal. We're talking about the grammar of it, of course. Nivne mimenu kol binyan v'yeh Baruch pa'ul. Kilomar mushpa miribui hatova. Okay, so basically, you know, we received an abundance of goodness. Kshomar al hanotain, when it's talking about one who's giving, not receiving, yia baruch shem hatoar. Okay, then it is a shem hatoar. It's a description, right? Exactly. Kimo, and it is along the lines, parallel to ideas like terms like Rachum, V'chanun, Shemot Ta'arim, Nikra Behem Hashem Yitbarach, Liot Hapoal Hamagia Mimenu Bracha, Shitosefet Shefa Riboy HaTova. When we talk about Hashem as being Baruch, we don't mean that Hashem is blessed. We don't mean that Hashem is receiving bracha from us. What we mean by Baruch is that Hashem is the source of bracha. Okay? And that's really the definition that you'll find in many, many Mefarshim from Rishonim through Achronim, that when we say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, we mean that Hashem is Makor HaBracha. Hashem is the source, is the origin of bracha, and that's what it's one of the ways we describe God. We can't really describe God, but the like one of the terms like Rachum, Rachun, etc. One of the terms that we use, one of the Tarim that we use, one of the attributes that we use is Baruch. Okay, it's source of bracha. Yes.
Whenever you say a bracha, is that an effect what you're doing?
That's what we're saying. When we say a bracha, what we're saying is Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, that whatever it is, what we mean by it is we're not saying that we are being Mevarech Hashem. We're saying that we are recognizing or acknowledging that Hashem is the source of bracha, and then we're describing a particular way in which that's so. Okay, that's what he's saying. Karakemach. Anyone's not familiar with Karakemach? Let me just introduce you very quickly. Karakemach is written by Rabbeinu Bachya, I don't know how to pronounce it. Rabbeinu Bachya is probably more accurate, but in any case, often pronounced Rabbeinu Bachya. The one who wrote the Parash on Chumash, the one who was from the school of Ramban, not Rabbeinu Bachya Ibn Pekuda, who, this is the Rabbeinu Bachya Ben Asher, the one who wrote the Parash on the Chumash, who's from the school of Ramban, not the Rabbeinu Bachya who wrote Chovat HaVavot. Okay, Chovat HaVavot, Rabbeinu Bachya is much earlier, they're both, but the one who wrote Chovat HaVavot is a much earlier Rishon, okay?
Earlier meaning earlier
in history. Okay. In any case, Rabbeinu Bachya wrote a sefer called Kad HaKemach. Kad HaKemach is a kind of encyclopedia of ideas in Jewish thought, of topics in Jewish thought, and it combines, as does his Parash on Chumash. It's a lot of overlap with his Parash on Chumash, but it's written like an encyclopedia, Aleph through Taf. And it's a very fascinating work, and you can look up all kinds of different topics. It's not meant to be comprehensive. It's selected topics, but it's topics, and it's a tremendous resource. It has a lot of fascinating things, both in his Parash on Chumash, which is tremendously valuable, and in Kara Kemach, and wrote other things as well, but not our topic today. In any case, so in the section, in the entry, Bracha, he writes as follows, and this is just the beginning of it. He goes on, as he does in his Parash on Chumash, to talk about a more Kabbalistic approach, which is also found in the Rashba, and the Tshuva, and Chelek Hei. I think some in Nun Aleph, or give or take one. In any case, that's there's a whole Kabbalistic approach which we are not going to get into. For one thing, because I'm not a Kabbalist, and I'm certainly not going to teach you anything that I don't know myself. So that would be kind of difficult. So therefore, we're not gonna. I've read the source, but I don't claim to know what it means. So we're going to focus on what he says, the pshat. Okay, so he says as follows. Baruch atah Hashem, Baruch atah Hashem, lamdeni chokecha. Right? It's possible to get to Tehillim. Baruch atah Hashem, lamdeni chokecha. So, talks about David HaMelech, who's in Vakesh, Bakatuv Hazeh, Metakash Baruch, Shitein lo Shefa, Vribui, Hasagat Bidiotav, Shiru, Niflov, Mitor, Tov, Lachain, Iskir, Lashon, Bracha, Shu, Shefa, Vribui. Katuv Hazeh, Yichlol, Tilao, Tfila, Kilashon, Baruch atah Hashem, Hu, Lishon, Shevach, Utila. Amar lo atahu mekor habracha shmimenu yavo hashafa lechol nishba. Okay, so again, I want to show you. You can read the rest at your leisure. I just want to point out we have a number of sources for this idea. And again, it reverberates to late Achronim, early Bisham, whatever. You have this idea again and again. The idea of Baruch, meaning that Hashem is the mekor, the source of bracha. If you look at Baruch Shamar, if we turn back to Baruch Shamar, this is what I think it says. Right? It's saying Baruch, what do we mean that Hashem is Baruch? And explains. Baruch Shamar Vahaya Olam, meaning that all that exists, exists as a result of God bringing it into being. Of Hashem bringing it into being. And therefore, Hashem is referred to as Baruch because not just what Hashem does, for us now, at this moment, but everything that exists, the fact that we exist, the fact that there is anything, period, that is all, the source of that is Hashem. And therefore, Hashem is Baruch, that attribute, that description, we use because Hashem is the source of all bracha that exists in the world, literally all bracha that exists in the world, and that's explained in the beginning of Baruch Shamar. Baruch, what do we mean by Baruch? Sha'amar v'ayolam. Right? Baruch Hu, that's what God is, as far as we can describe, God through his actions. Baruch Oseh Bereshit, right? God created everything, brought everything into being. Baruch Omer Oseh, Baruch Gozer Umkayem, but it doesn't end with Maaseh Bereshit, it's the continuing to exist. Baruch Merachem Al Aretz, and then treating the world in a mode of Rachamim, and everything that Hashem gives, all the bracha Hashem gives to the world. Baruch Merachem Al Briot. Again, expressed through the Rachamim that Baruch Meshalem Sachar Tov Le'Yad, Baruch Haylad Kem Lanetzach, Baruch Podem Atzil, Baruch Shemov. So in other words, all of this is explaining why we describe Hashem as Baruch, and that's the first component in understanding Baruch Atah Hashem. Okay? We go on to say, Baruch Shemo, and if you notice, it refers to Shemo in various forms a number of times here. Right? The first being Baruch Shemo, but then a little bit later, we have it again. Okay? And we say, V'nazkir Shimcha. Okay? We talk about, again, Melech Meshubach Umfar Ade Ad Shemo HaGadol. All of these are a description of or a commentary on the word Hashem in Baruch Atah Hashem, right? This explanation of Hashem. And what it tells us about it is a very, very significant point. Okay, a very significant point. And if you turn the page for a moment, you'll see, and I apologize to those for whom this is repetition, but it's such a big yisod, I can't, and it's so critical for what we're doing, I have to mention it just very quickly. It won't take more than a few minutes. is part of that list of things that people with a good yeshiva education seldom get right. And that is one of the questions that I also like to ask people is, what is the most fundamental distinction between Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei and Elokim? Right? And the answer that you almost always get, which is not correct, if you listen carefully to the question, which is what is the most fundamental distinction between them, the answer you usually get is Din and Rachman, Mida Hadin Mida Tarachman. What? Okay. That's a less common answer. Okay, that's also not the most common answer, the most fundamental answer. The most fundamental, that's coming closer. The most fundamental answer is as follows. That's not the most fundamental either. The most fundamental, it's very interesting because the same as like Din and Rachamim is a Rashi at the beginning of Bereshit, so is this distinction. It's found in Rashi, it's found in Ibn Ezra, it's found in Ramban, it's found in any major Mefarish makes this point, and it's very, very pashut, as you'll see. Rashi Bereshit Parak Bet Pasuk Hey, Hashem Elokim, Hashem Hu Shemo. Elokim shu shofet v'shalit al-kol v'chein perset b'chol makom l'fi pshuto. Hashem shehu Elokim. Elokim is a philosophical term. Elokim is a description. Elokim is a, if you will, a title. It's a category. Elokim is not a name. Okay, it's not a name. Meaning in the narrow sense, I mean. Meaning that Hashem, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, is a proper name. That's not true of Elokim. The reason is that Elokim is used to refer to Hashem, okay? But Elokim, meaning, we have, for example, Elohim Achirim, the Torah talks about, right? Other gods. Okay? It talks about, I'll give you a classic example, but we have Elokeinu, our God, right? It's just the equivalent of God. It's a philosophical concept. Now, when you use it in a certain way, it refers to Hashem. However, that's not what the word per se means. It's a title. It's a description. It's like, you know, it's not per se a name. Yud-Kei Vav-Kei is the name. It's the name of God. And that's very different. Okay, that's very, very different. So, for example, if you look in Melach Ma'al Perk Yud-Chet, Pasuk Chafal, which we all know, everyone knows this Pasuk, V'agesh Eliyahu et kol ha'am v'yomer ad matai atem poskim ashtei ha'sivim. Right? Everyone knows this Pasuk. Im Hashem ha'elokim L'chu acharav. V'im ha-ba'al, and it's an elliptical phrase, the implication is V'im ha-ba'al ha-elokim, right? So then, l'chu acharav. V'lo anu am oto davar, and eventually after the whole test with the fire and the carbon and the water and the whole thing, ta'ala, so what did B'nai Israel finally answer? Hashem hu ha-elokim, right? Point is, Elokim is the it that we're discussing. But the who that we're discussing is Hashem, or Lahavdil the Baal, right? In other words, these are names of particular gods. So Eliyahu is saying, you have to make up your mind. There's this concept of God, but you're confused. Who is God? Which God do you identify with being the God? Is it Baal or is it Hashem, right? But clearly, Hashem, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, is a name as opposed to Elokim, which is, right, knows if you were to have a discussion with an atheist and a Buddhist and a Muslim and a Christian and a Jew and whatever else you'd like to throw into the equation, you talk about Elokim. Is there an Elokim? Is there not an Elokim? Who is Elokim, right? But Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, Hashem, that's a name. If you look at what we say in Baruch Sha'amar, right, and I just want to show you for a moment, then from that we can take the Amir HaDin Amir HaTarach. What does that mean? So again, what is Mirat HaDin and Mirat HaRachamim? Right? It's another thing that people are confused about. Mirat HaDin and Mirat HaRachamim doesn't mean, as I think that everyone in fifth grade thinks, naturally, it's understandable. But in fifth grade, everyone thinks, what does it mean that Mirat HaDin and Mirat HaRachamim? So if God's giving us candy, then that's Mirat HaRachamim. And if God's, you know, smacking us around, so then that's Mirat HaDin. Right? Is that the fifth grade, you know, perception of it, more or less? It's not true. You look, for example, look at the top of the page, page 3, look at the top of the page, two sections, one right after the other, the end of Parshat Bereshit, the beginning of Parshat Noach, and you'll see Bayar Hashem, Yud Kevav Ke Ki Rabba Ra'at Adam Ba'aretz V'chol Yetz Mashvot Libo Rak Rak Koyom Bayinachem Hashem Ki Asa Et Adam Ba'aretz V'yatzev El Libo Bayom Hashem Emchet Adam Asher Barati Me'al Pnei Adama Me'adam Ad Be'ma Ad Remez V'ad Ov HaShemayim Ki Nichamti Ki Asitim V'noach Matza Chein Be'nei Hashem. Okay, number one, the world is messed up, God's going to destroy it, Noach is going to be saved, right? Those are the basic facts. You turn to the next paragraph, the continuation, these psukim, we went from pasuk chet to pasuk tet, but it's the next little section. Eile toldo Noach, Noach is tzadik, tamim hayab dor tav et elokim hitalech Noach, vayoled Noach shosha banim et shem echam bet yafed, vatishachet haaretz lefnei elokim, vatimalei haaretz chamas, the world is messed up, it's going to be destroyed by vayar, elokim et haaretz v'nei nishchata, ki shchit kol basar dar kol haaretz, vayom elokim lenoach, keitz kol basar ba'al fanai, ki mal haaretz chamas mipneihem v'ninim ashratam et haaretz, and therefore I'm going to make a teva, I'm going to save you, etc. The same basic facts. Right? There's no difference between what God's doing in the first section and the second. What's the difference between the two? Vayitatzev el libo, right? Vayitatzev el libo in the first part, now in the second part. In other words, Hashem, midat harachamim, connotes a certain aspect of relationship, of connection. Right? That's what midat harachamim means. Maybe Hashem is being ma'anish, but it's in the context of a relationship. It's described in emotional terms. Kviyachal, obviously, but it's described in that way. Elokim, cold, objective. It makes a lot of sense. If you speak to someone using their name, if you're on a first name basis with them, it implies a certain relationship and closeness, right? If you refer to them by their title, cold, objective, formal, professional, right? It's the difference between Dr. So-and-so, you know, President, Dean, so on, that's very different than, you know,
it's more than
whatever. So there's a formal, objective coldness to Elohim. Hashem, on the other hand, Shem Hashem, it's a personal name and therefore connotes a certain relationship. That's what me and the Rachman are all about. And then from there, everything else that follows. Now, why do I tell you this? Because if you turn back now, notice what it says here, right? Baruch atah Hashem, right? The bracha, the formula bracha, the first part of the bracha is Baruch atah Hashem. Okay? What does it say in Baruch Sha'amar? More than once, it refers to the idea of Shemo. What does Shemo mean? His name, right? In other words, Yud Kei Vav Kei is God's name. That's the point. That's the whole point. And what insight does that give us? It explains the beginning of the bracha. How do we begin the bracha? Baruch atah Hashem. What do you notice about it? First of all, it says Hashem and Elokim. Excellent. And atah in the second person. We're directly addressing Hashem. We're speaking to Hashem, not about Hashem. Hey, the beginning of the bracha is personal. It implies a connection. And why? Because we're using Shemo. Right, we're using Hashem's name. And that, of course, connects to the whole idea of Hashem being the source of bracha, this whole idea of rachamim, baruch, merachem, halabriot, etc. Baruch is very closely connected to the idea of miyat harachamim, to the idea of a relationship, to the idea of a closeness, to the idea that we're addressing God in the second person. Okay, we're speaking directly to Hashem. Okay? We continue. And there's much overlap, and it's meant to be that way, as you see. But in any case, we continue. And we talk about Hakel, because how do we continue in the bracha? Elokeinu melech ha'olam. Okay? Elokeinu melech ha'olam. Now, here already, we're speaking about God. Right? We're speaking about God. We're not speaking to God, we're speaking about God. We're saying, Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu melech ha'olam. Right? Hashem, who is our God, is the, you know, and there's a transition. The first part is this closeness and this informality almost, and the second part is this formality and this distance and this, you know, kingship. But it's Elokeinu, right? And that's part of the transition. It's Hashem Elokeinu is like kind of the bridge between the two halves. We go from Baruch Atah Hashem to Melech Olam. And Hashem Elokeinu in the middle is kind of transition. Because Elokeinu is already, and when it's Elokim, but on the other hand, it's Elokeinu. It's our God, right? So there's a relationship. So Hakel, we explain, Ha'av Harachaman, Hamula B'fi'amo, Mishubach Mfar B'lashon Chasidav Avadav, B'shrei David Avdecha. Again, the emphasis on Avadav. This is an elaboration on the relationship of Melech Ha'olam, right? God as the Melech, God as the King, God as the Master. Nahalelcha Hashem Elokeinu, right, which we're pointing out that when we talk about Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu, Melech Olam Mishpachos Merot, Nigadelcha Hashem Echa, V'erchan Mezkir Shimcha, V'namlichecha Malkeinu, V'namlichecha Malkeinu, right, we're going from the Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu to what? To what part of the bracha? To Melech Olam, right, the Malchut, Melech Olam. Okay, Malkeinu Elokeinu. That's Elokeinu Melech Olam. Yachid Chayalmin Melech Meshuvach Parad Ad Shmo Hagadol Baruch Atah Hashem Melech Mulal Batishpachot. If we turn to the next page for a moment, we have therefore the point made in Baruch Sha'amar that the bracha of Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam encompasses two basic components. Two descriptions, two ways of relating to God. The first, Baruch Atah Hashem, which is one of closeness, one of warmth, one of a relationship, and the second of distance, of subjugation, of being avadim, of Hashem being the Melech. The Gemara in Tanit says something very interesting. I'm sure you're familiar with this Gemara. The Gemara says, "Shuv Maaseh Rabbi Eliezer Sherad Lufnei Ateva Vamar Esrim VaArba Brachot V'lo Na'ana." Right? There's a question. There's a drought, and Rabbi Eliezer got up and he said 24 brachot tefillah, and he wasn't answered. Yarad Rabbi Akiva Acharav Amar Avinu Malkeinu Ein Lanu Melech El Ata Avinu Malkeinu L'Mancha Rachem Avinu Malkeinu Etc. V'Yaduk Shamim. So Avraham Rani Rabbanan, the other rabbi, started saying, "Oh, look at this! You know, Rabbi Akiva was answered like that, and Rabbi Eliezer is not answered, you know, at all." Yasavakov Amra Lom Pnei Shezeh Gadol Mizeh. It's not that Rabbi Akiva is greater than Rabbi Eliezer. El Shezeh Mavio Midotav Vizeh Eno Mavio Midotav. Okay, Rabbi Akiva is Mavio Midotav. He's easy going. He's you know, lets things go. It said, lets them slide. So he was answered first. Well, what you see here, and again, we can't learn the whole Gemara right now because it's not relevant to us, but what I want to point out is just one thing. One thing I want to point out here. There is a difference between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer in terms of Mavir Amidot Tav. Okay, it's a different topic. I invite you to look at the Gemara and Rashi and Kule. Yuchas and Rashi, whatever. Okay, no. But the point is, I think this Gemara implies that there's a parallelism between brachot, right, and Avinu Malkeinu. It's just that one is more elaborate and more formal, and one is more, you know, concise. And but the point is that essentially the brachot that we say is tefillah, these brachot that we say is building blocks of tefillah, what's the essence of the brachot? The idea of Avinu Malkeinu, meaning that we have, and if you look at Baruch Sha'amar, you see this exactly. Right, we have the aspect emphasized that Hashem is Avinu, this idea of closeness and relationship and in second person, and there's also the idea of Melech Olam. There's also Malkeinu. There's Baruch Atah Hashem. There's also Elokeinu Melech Olam. Right, and the two ideas go together. The Rambam in Hilchot Yisodei Torah, Perek Bet Halacha Bet, very very famous Rambam, but very relevant to our discussion, says the following. V'heichi haderech la'avato v'yirato b'shashi bonein hadam b'ma'asav uv'ro'av hanifla'im hagdolim v'yir'eh mehen chachmato she'en la'erech v'lokeitz. Person looks at God's creation. Person looks at God's creation. Person looks at the universe. Person looks at the laws of nature. And what is the reaction? Miyad hu ohev u'mishabeach u'mifa'er u'mitaveh tava gdola leida Hashem ha'gadol kemo shamar David sam'a nafshi l'elohim l'el chai u'kishemachashe b'dvarim ha'elu atzman. Okay, so in other words, the first reaction, he thinks about this the tremendous chachman, tremendous, incredible seder and the way the way the world is created. So what's the reaction? That mitaveh tava gdola leida Hashem ha'gadol Kimo shamar David sam anafshilo kimo kelchai, and he's ohev umishabech umfaer umetaveh tavagdol etc. Ukeshimachashebet v'me elu atzman. He continues to contemplate these very things. Miad hu nirtal lachorav v'ifached v'yodeh shu biryak tanash velah velah medet bedat kalam muatalf neitmim deot. That person is overcome by awe and fear from the tremendous, you know, the contrast between him and God. Kimo shamar David kirem shamecha kireh shamecha maaseh etzbaotecha ma'anosh kitis kirenu lufi atrim ha'elu ani mevaer klalim gdolim maaseh ribon olam kdei shei petach l'mevin le'achov et Hashem kimo shamru chachamim v'nyan avash mitokach ata makir mi shamar v'ya olam. You look at the words of the Rambam here. Do you see how much of this is the same exact language as Baruch Shamar? Isn't it incredible? And I don't think it's coincidental. I don't mean to say that the Rambam is necessarily deliberately paraphrasing Baruch Shamar. I'm not claiming that. Maybe yes, maybe no, I have no idea. But what I'm saying is the following. The idea that the Rambam is expressing here is the essence of Baruch Shamar. The idea of Baruch Sha'amar is a perspective on what a bracha is. And a bracha is the building block, is the basic component of tefillah. And tefillah, our spiritual way of approaching, connecting to Hashem. There are two components. And the two components, and there's a back and forth, there's, as the Rambam describes it, a person goes, you know, depending on the focus, there are two perspectives that compete and that are complementary. One is that of Ava, one of Yira. There's one of our feeling insignificant and small and distant and being taken aback in God's presence. And there's also a pull and a love and a relationship and a connection of Ava. And these two go hand in hand. And when we have a perception of Hashem, which is the essence of Tefillah, both are the result of it. And even the order in which it's described here is exactly the order that we have in every bracha. We start with Baruch Ata Hashem, right? A focus on rachamim, a focus on relationship, a focus on a closeness of Baruch Ata Hashem, right, in second person, and then immediately a switch to Elokeinu, right, Mirat Hadin, Elokeinu, distance, sensitivity, fear, Melech HaOlam. Of God's majesty and greatness and our subjugation and awe. I think that this gives us that this meaning Baruch Sha'amar and our understanding of Baruch Sha'amar gives us a tremendous window into why Chazal formulated tefillot in terms of brachot, because what a bracha does is to give us a focus on this dual perspective. Right, that needs to accompany our approaching and our having connection to an awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, we need to have at the same time the aspect of Baruch Ata Hashem, but also the aspect of Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. We need to have the aspect of Ava, but also of Yira. And these two working together, this gives us a framework. And that's why whatever the particular that we're addressing within that particular bracha, but the basic structure, the basic context is that of Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. I think that's what Baruch Sha'amar teaches us. And really, if we look at it, we see. You look at this Rambam. You know, this Rambam is, I'm not saying it's intended as, but certainly can serve as a very powerful perush on Baruch Sha'amar. Baruch Sha'amar in turn serves as a very, and I think this is deliberate, certainly as a very important perush on what a bracha is. And that's why, look, he says, that how does it begin? B'shashi bonein hadam b'masav u'vuav hanifla'im ha'dolim v'yirem b'chachmato she'elam erach etc. Miyad ohev m'shabeach u'fa'er yukudin yibarach shamar baruch shamar v'ayolam baruch hu baruch ozer baruch baruch hu baruch oseh bereshit. Right? This is, look at the creation, past and present. Then the reaction is, right? that our reaction is mishabachim for our b'shon chasidav avadav, etc. Negadelcha and shabecha and fe'ercha and askir shemcha and luchcha. It's exactly what the Rambam talks about over here. So I think that this is a little bit of an insight into what Baruch Shamar is and how it functions. And I think that we can understand, based on this, why it is that Baruch Shamar brings us into the Pesukei Dezimra that serve as our setting the tone and setting, you know, creating a foundation for our approaching Hashem with Tefillah. This is the stepping stone towards the brachot that comprise the tefillah. Before we begin to be mitpalel and to use the brachot as a mode for approaching Hashem in tefillah, we need to understand what a bracha is and what it is that it's telling us and what kind of a frame of reference it gives us. And that's exactly what Baruch Shamar provides for us. Shabbat Shalom.